Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of And Then There's That, a biweekly podcast of people, politics, and punditry in Howard County on the HOCO Mojo Network. I'm Paul Scalney, and today my co-host, Dennis Lane, and I are recording our podcast from the Columbia Town Center Lakefront on this beautiful summer day. Joining us today is Dave Youngman, wearing a number of hats. But as always, we first like to take a look at some of the news making the headlines this week. Dennis, what you got for us?
The news this week, the first story I've got, that it's a pretty good story. I mean, it's one of these about time stories. The police have been cracking down on handicapped parking violators. How many times have you gone into a shopping center and you see somebody that, you know, come bounding out of a car with lots of energy and
just got back from the gym, wanted to stop at Starbucks for a quick cup of coffee, his car in that spot and was running out.
And I always say, okay, maybe they got somebody at home that, that's handicapped and I feel bad for them. But, you know, it always kind of gets you angry when they use it when they're not supposed to. And finally, the police are clamping down. They arrested about a dozen, or not arrested, they gave out about a dozen tickets this week. And
That's pretty harsh.
Yeah, it's a little harsh. The fine's a little harsh.
$350.
$350, and you lose your handicap sticker. So that was one side.
And if they're not handicapped to begin with, then I guess that wouldn't have much of an impact, though, right?
Well, you know, if they borrowed somebody else's, that's what I feel bad. You know, and sometimes, hey, I use my handicap thing and go out of the store. It's wrong.
It's wrong, but a lot of these people are sometimes getting handicap stickers inappropriately. They don't really have a handicap. God forbid if we ask them to verify that they had it,
right,
what their handicap was.
As I understand the criteria, you know, it's really at the doctor's discretion whether he gives you the form to get one or not. So it's, you know, you can say it's like, I guess it's like medical marijuana. Yeah, I've got problems. I need marijuana, you know. next story, and I see you've pulled it up too. There's a gentleman who is suing the...
Easy on that word there.
He's suing the...
Melvin Yates.
Melvin Yates is suing... 23-year-old young man. He's suing the Howard County Police Department for $50 million.
Yeah, so he got arrested. There was a large fight, and he was...
You know, it was a fight at a memorial service, I think, for his father.
I think that's right. And he was there. I think he was walking away, and the cop said, "Where are you going?" And he said, "Nowhere," or something. And
he was yelling at people, and the cops told him to get in his car, and he kept yelling and kept egging the people on, I guess, apparently.
He was bad-mouthing them.
And whatever. Next thing you know, he didn't listen to the police. And you know what happens when you don't listen to the police?
You get busted. You get arrested. You're in the slammer for the night.
Yeah, they say, you know, put your hands behind your back and down you go. Well, he went down. I guess he chipped his tooth. And, I've heard of gold teeth, but this guy wants $50 million for a tooth.
He's accusing the police of false imprisonment, assault, battery, and a violation of his civil rights. I didn't realize gold teeth had civil rights.
Well, and I love this. He goes... He was quoted in the Columbia Flyer saying, "I'm terrified of the police," he said, holding his two-year-old son, Tristan, in his arms. "My life will never be the same." Okay, this gentleman is 23 years old. His rap sheet.
His rap sheet.
His rap sheet is about the size
of... More than 23 pages long.
Yeah. It's about 23 pages long. And now he's a terrified of the police.
A little late for that.
I think if I had a rap sheet as long as his, I'd be terrified of the police, too. And apparently one of the people that he grabbed as he went down fighting, according to the comments on Explore Howard, was the Southern District Watch Commander. Yeah, it's never a good idea. Never a good idea. All right.
So, Dennis, then there's the story that caught my eye. And, you know, the actual story itself in the Columbia Flyer wasn't all that interesting. It was about the fact that teachers this year are retiring at twice the number that they typically retire. 250 new retirees from the Howard County Public School System this year. And normally it's about a half of that. And apparently it has to do with the fact that the school system's changing its policy and no longer paying 100% of health insurance for retirees after a certain amount of years of service. And they're taking that back to 90%. But what caught my eye here was the story is about two teachers at Dunlogan Middle named Janice and Michael Petrovich.
And you know these people.
I do. Our producer Dave and I both went to Dunlogan. And Mr. Petrovich is just one of those teachers that you just remember for the rest of your life. He's just a great guy. I was reminiscing with Dave over lunch. There was a teacher woodshop, I think. He used to throw chalk at us. Mr. Petrovich, however, he used to throw the erasers at us.
You can't do that anymore, can you?
No, you can't do that. Of course not. Violation of civil rights again, you know.
You might chip a tooth. You know?
But Mr. Petrovich, he was just a great guy. He had a just amazing teaching style. And he and his wife, who he actually met at Dunlogan, They ended up eloping and getting married. They together spent 77 years in the public school system. So kudos to them, and I wish them well in their retirement, collecting 100% of their health insurance.
Wow. Yeah, right. I mean, I understand why they want to retire, and I understand why the school system is trying to cut back on the health care costs. It's out of hand. Well, you know, speaking of out of hand, things are a little out of hand down in Savage, an appropriately named community, if you ask me. This past
Maryland's got some good ones too.
Maryland does.
We have Sunshine.
We have Skaggsville,
Cockeysville. I mean, come on.
Dickiesville. Just the Cockeys. I'm not even going there. In Savage, nearly 100 Savage residents met with the Howard County Police. Because they say that down on the river in Savage, crowds drink alcohol, swim in the river, leave trash along the riverbank, bring in unleashed dogs, and park in the no parking zones. They also contend there has been theft and vandalism in the area.
Now, Dave and I had some classmates in high school that used to go down to Patapsco River, our guest Dave.
Yeah.
They used to go down to Patapsco River and do the very same things. Now, Dave and I, we didn't do that.
No, of course not. No. But what I love about this, the people in Savage are saying outsiders are coming in and creating all this problem, and they go on at the end. The police, this is a great statement at the end. The police said they had not cracked down on illegal parking, drinking, or swimming because they wanted Savage residents to enjoy the area as they are accustomed to. And then there's that. What else? You that's your story.
That's my story. I think you had one final story.
I got one story, and who is the senator that used to give the Golden Fleece Awards for wasteful government spending? I can't remember his name, but I don't think he's around anymore. But it's not government spending, but our beloved Columbia Association, and they're in charge of the parks and recreations in Columbia, and they operate with a budget of about $60 million a year. They have been trying for well over, the paper says 4 years, but I think it's longer than that, to come up with a new computer system.
And they've to date, I think, spent 5% of actually their annual budget on that. Is that right?
They have spent $3 million on a system that they have now come to admit it's broken. It's not working. They're going to now have to hire an outside consultant to see if he can salvage 4 years' worth of work and $3 million.
Did you say salvage it?
Savage.
Oh, salvage.
Salvage.
Got it. Okay.
They've been savaged by their software developer. And, you know, here's the thing. The head of the committee that started this program, the Performance and Oversight Committee of CA, at the time this was initiated, was Cynthia Coyle, who is now the CA board chair. And one of the board members who was heavily involved in this is Phil Kirsch. Both Cindy and Phil get reelected over and over again by the people in their village, and they have proven themselves so inept at managing, the simple operation. What does it take for these people to lose their jobs, lose their board jobs?
Well, you know, there are other people out there that, I think are rightfully have expired in their positions that continue to get elected as legislatures over and over and over again. We see it on the local level. We see it on the national level. And it keeps happening over and over again. I think people just have a tendency to reelect incumbents. And as long as life is good for them, they keep electing them.
I just don't think I think the problem is nobody's paying attention to this. And Cynthia Coyle, she says, this is going on the fifth year for me. I can't even tell you when this discussion started. I think it's very disappointing. Well, my God, she's in charge of this thing.
So. Our producer, Dave and I, again, we're talking over lunch. And I think there's another angle to the story, and it has to do with sort of the economic development side of it. The Columbia Association, which is, about as Howard County as you can get, why are we going to India to have software written to do something when we have such incredible talent here in Howard County? We have Fortune 500 companies. We have small business software writers. We have a tremendous community college. Why are we going out of the county? Forget out of the state or out of the country. Why are we even going out of the county to get this kind of stuff done? Shame on CA.
And the two CA staff members spent 4 months in India working on this. 4 months in India. Anyway.
I suspect that was tax-free because when we work abroad, never mind.
And while I'm beating up on CA, and this makes a pretty good transition to our guest, apparently there was a board meeting last night, and Alan Klein, perennial community activist and disgruntled citizen, would now like to see CA exempted from the design guidelines for Columbia Town Center in order that they can get started on the Symphony Woods redevelopment ahead of time. Now,
I represent a number of builders and developers that would like to be exempt from that, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is the very guy that was saying the town center guidelines are not enforceable. They need to be enforceable, and we need, you know, accountability. And now he's asking for CA to be taken out of it. And you know what? The same board that created this computer programming fiasco has agreed with him. They've agreed to hire an attorney to look into it. You know, what is – and that's a good lead into our guest. Our guest is
Our guest is David Youngman. I guess we should say we were scheduled to have Senator James Robey with us today, and unfortunately he had a funeral to attend to this afternoon and will not be able to join us, but he will be our next guest in a special show that we'll be actually recording next Thursday, July the 1st.
Right, right. So we're going to actually have a show next week as well as instead of skipping a week. So.
Right, exactly. So sitting in for Senator Robey, we have David Youngman. David is now a realtor here in Howard County, a very active member of the community on a lot of different levels. Dave, welcome, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And joining us as a special guest is David's daughter,
Reagan,
whose name is
Grace.
Grace.
Our and
name
she
is
wants
Grace
us to
today.
Tell everyone that she loves peace signs and lime green.
All right. So there you go.
Peace signs and lime green. Great. Well, welcome. Welcome, Grace. And David, now you and what's your position with New City Alliance? And tell us a little bit about that.
I and three other folks here, longtime residents, community leaders, formed New City Alliance last summer to try to move ahead what at that point had been a process that was in its fifth year to really turn the corner for this downtown, Howard County's downtown and downtown Columbia, and to complete the city that it was supposed to be. Columbia, downtown Columbia really progressed for 15, 20 years. A lot of changes, a lot of energy, a lot of momentum, and then Rouse pretty much gave up on it, moved its energies other places, and, you know, we're just excited to see it continue to grow.
Now, when you say that, we should back up here because you've been around Columbia for a long time. You grew up here?
Grew up in Ellicott City.
Grew up in Ellicott City, okay.
Moved here in 1972.
And your dad was a an executive with the Rouse Company?
Yeah, we moved here in the early 70s. He was an early Rouse guy, and that led me to remember lots of downtown Columbia and town center, undeveloped,
right,
and to be able to watch it develop. And we spent a lot of time down here, and this was really our sort of social, this was the place we came.
Now, Dave, you were, you know, Mount Hebron graduate, and then you went off to college, and you worked outside of Howard County for a period of time, and then you came back, and you really jumped in with both feet. Now, what made you get back involved in Howard County and in the community?
Well, that's a great question. I missed being involved in local stuff, and where my career took me, we didn't have any business here in the local area. I was living in Baltimore City, and when we finally moved back out here about 10 years ago, I really wanted to get back involved in local politics and local community organizations and leadership and whatnot. But it wasn't until I transitioned into having a local business and my kids got into the public schools that it really all sort of came together. So, yeah, I was... I'm glad to be back involved in everything Howard County.
Yeah, let's go back to New City Alliance for a little bit. You started this group with, Phil Engelke and Mike Davis.
Phil Engelke, Lynn Egan, and Mike Davis.
And Mike Davis.
And go ahead.
And how many members are members of the New City Alliance today?
Well, we've kept our leadership very small. It's just the four of us.
Okay.
So the four of us lead the group. And we have a couple thousand followers who, you know, we're all just people that want to see downtown Columbia become everything it can be.
But haven't you done your job? I mean, the legislation's passed. You know what? Everything's done. So does New City Alliance now break up and you pat yourselves on the back, say job well done, and move on to the next thing? Or what happens now?
if it only was that easy, that would be terrific.
What are the challenges you're still seeing?
Well, we did accomplish a lot in February with the approval of the general plan and the zoning regulation amendment, because that was the thing that sort of laid out where everybody got on the same page with what downtown is going to become,
right?
And the vision for downtown. But it was still a general plan. There's a lot of smaller pieces of legislation, just the mechanical, technical pieces of legislation that need to be implemented.
The devil is in the details, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of that, one of those pieces, I believe, is the new adequate public facilities amendment or ordinance for Town Center, correct?
Right.
And as I understand that, there was some political pressure to delay filing for that adequate public facilities ordinance till after the election.
Yeah, I think that there was, and we were troubled
by that. Why was it? Why would somebody want to delay that? I mean, I think most people say, well, it's done. Let's move on. I mean, we've got Town Center done, and let's just wrap up these details. Why could that be an election issue?
I think in Howard County and right here in Columbia, everything related to development can be controversial and difficult politically. Different elected officials and what their different little pieces of it that concern them, I'm not sure. But, we just really – go ahead.
I mean, was it just a matter of you got that February piece through, everyone kind of came out smelling good, looking good, and they figured, you know what, let's coast to the election. Let's come out on a high note. Let's go into the election on a high note. And the risks associated with introducing the APFO legislation was just too great, not knowing how they're going to come out looking from that particular deliberation process. I mean, is that really a basis upon which they decided to delay it?
Adequate public facilities legislation focuses on a couple of the areas that are the most controversial areas of development.
Such as?
Residential density.
Traffic.
And, I certainly understand that there was a reluctance for folks to deal with issues like that during an election season. But we were gratified by the leadership shown by the county council in sort of stepping back and saying, look, we voted on this already. We approved this general plan, this adequate public facilities legislation, and everything else that we're going to do over the next couple of years are just conforming to that plan, conforming to that vision. And we need to move it ahead. And we exerted some pressure on folks because 6 months is a long time.
6 months is a long time. And time is money.
Yeah, and folks will say, look, we've been at this 6 years. What's another 6 months? And, a lot can happen in 6 months. And the county has secured a private partner for the last 5 years, General Growth Properties. And as they resolve their bankruptcy case and the company looks like it will be split into two companies. All that stuff's going to happen before our election.
Right.
And I think that folks in Howard County at all levels, it's funny, I always chuckle that it's like folks in Howard County have never left Howard County and can't even conceive that somebody in New York would not want to invest in Columbia or whatever. And we just tried to make people realize that you need to keep the process moving forward, and you need to show potential investors and potential partners that you're capable of getting through a political process, even in an election year, so that you can actually implement a plan. I mean, it's a great plan, but it's currently sitting on a shelf somewhere.
Right.
And we would prefer it to be in the ground.
So, Dave, your day job is being a realtor here in Howard County, and I think you've done a great job in developing quite a reputation in the western part of the county. But before we move on to that, what's next for Dave? You got this new City Alliance. Obviously, there's still work to be done there. There's been talk of maybe Dave running for office someday. Is that something that's on your horizon?
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. There's also talk of Paul running for office.
Paul's been pretty dismissive of that.
Yeah, Paul likes to deflect that to Dave.
Be happy to be involved in your campaign, Dave.
If the last two days, which were the first couple half days and full day of children being out of school, is any indication of my ability to handle more then that's highly unlikely, least in the next at least in the next few years until kids can drive. But no, I think we really just want to see the downtown Columbia plan come together. We still got a couple years at this. It's still a long road. So NCA needs to really continue, you know, leading the community and representing the community, and I think that's where the focus is going to be.
So before we move beyond NCA, and then I understand, so they feel their mission is still to finish the job.
Yeah, you got to finish the job. You've got a lot of money invested in it. You got to finish it.
And does that mean supporting the candidates this this year in the election who supported the plan? Is it?
I'd like to see the community support the five county council members that have been involved in this and have led this and have worked hard and taken hard votes and have added, you know, good input, amended plans as needed.
So, and now you're Republican, as I understand, and you're now coming right out saying you support, all the incumbents of the county council getting reelected, four of which are Democrats.
Yeah, New City Alliance is interesting because a couple of us are Republicans, a couple of us are Democrats, and it's maybe this is symptomatic of local politics or local issues to an extent, but, you know, we walked into this and everybody sort of agreed to check their party at the door. Okay. And as long as all we ever talk about is downtown Columbia, we get along swimmingly. It's fun to talk about other stuff. New City Alliance and us as leaders of that organization, I think would very much like to see
all five incumbents.
I think they've earned it. And as somebody who wants to get this project done, it's very difficult to start over with another group.
I think Paul's head's about ready to explode.
But have they all really earned it? Or have we had some leaders on the county council, and have we had some followers on the county council? And I don't mean to put you on the spot. We don't need to name names. But it seems to me that some people have taken on leadership roles, bipartisan leadership roles, and others maybe have not taken on as significant a roles. And some of the challengers out there arguably could take the work of New City Alliance, take the work of the council to date, and really be take on more leadership positions in kind of moving the ball forward.
That's an accurate statement. It seems, and this is the first detailed issue like this I've really worked through with this government, it would seem that, you know, you have one or two council people that'll really take the lead on a piece of legislation or a project or some sort of an issue, and you know, they'll work with the administration. In this case, they'll work with General Growth Properties, and, you know, as they pull it together and as they lead it, then, you know, they sit with the other council people and try to bring them along.
Nature of politics.
Yeah, we certainly, different members of the council have had their disagreements with sort of the vision that we have, and, you know, we probably all agree on 90% of it, and it's not perfect for everybody, but for the most part, I'd say everybody has really, and it's shown in the last 2 weeks, that back to where Dennis started us, that this APFO legislation was, you needed to have some courage to step up and deal with this right now, and they have.
Well, you know, we're going to move off of this because the funny thing is that aside from maybe a handful of people, a lot of people really think have moved on from the town center thing, and it's good that we have groups like New City Alliance to kind of keep an eye on the ball and keep moving this forward. But I think one of the things that everybody that I talk to in Howard County, in our listening audience out there, can relate to are home values.
Right.
Howard County is blessed that we're sitting, you know, down the road from Fort Meade. We have great schools. There's actually growth in our market. And yet the county has been impacted just like everywhere else by the drop in home values over the past 2 years.
Sure.
As a realtor and somebody who's certainly in that market every day, can you tell us a little about what's going on with home values in Howard County? But what's selling, what's not, what's the outlook?
It's a lot of different markets. It's funny. Certainly things that are more affordable, which let's say in Howard County is $600,000 and under, which is funny to even say that, is moving better than stuff that's more expensive. I think that's partly...
When you say moving better, are we talking 30 days in the market, 45 days in the market, 60 days in the market? What's the average?
No, it's...
He's bought a crib sheet.
Yeah, I brought a crib sheet. In May, we averaged 72 days on the market.
This is for houses under $600,000.
No, that's countywide. And I think what I see is you have a lot of submarkets. Houses that show really well or in a good neighborhood and a good school. They might have an amenity in the neighborhood. That stuff could be turning in 6 weeks.
Like if you live near Paul, your
exactly.
House is
I could sell a house next to Paul in 4 days. Yeah, no problem.
Is that the neighborhood or am I the amenity?
You're the amenity. You would be the amenity.
Balanced off with homes that don't show well, need a lot of work. Sellers still.
Yeah, but that's always the case, though.
Absolutely.
Is that like Dennis and Dennis's neighborhood?
Dennis's neighborhood. Right. So as far as home values, most neighborhoods we feel like have bottomed out. In Ellicott City and some other areas, we've seen upticks in value this spring. In some other areas, we're still sort of seeing a little, maybe a half a point decline every month. But right. It seems right. to be flattening out.
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. What's the hottest neighborhood in Howard County as far as residential sales?
I'd say the hottest area is Ellicott City.
Ellicott City, really? 210-43?
4-3 and 4-2.
And 4-2.
Together.
Why is that? What do you think? What do you think contributes to that?
You have a lot of affordability within the detached home market.
Okay.
Got good schools.
A detached home in Ellicott City is more affordable than a detached home in Columbia?
No, it's not. Add to that the good schools. Ellicott City, even in the boom time, because of the schools, was where people wanted to be. And they might move somewhere else because they couldn't afford to get into Ellicott City, but now that they can, Ellicott City is really where people are pushing.
It's interesting. When my parents moved to Howard County in 1972, we moved from Southern California, and my mom had read about this wonderful new place called Columbia. And my parents couldn't afford to buy in Columbia, which is why they bought in Ellicott City.
Right.
And now, of course, it's kind of upside down.
And that's an interesting thing. So you're saying within our much ballyhooed, I love vaunted and ballyhooed are kind of fun words. Within our much
left
vaunted,
my thesaurus and back at the office.
Our vaunted and ballyhooed public school system, you're saying that there are pockets within that system that are actually it's not a system of equals.
Well, I think that. Yeah, it's not a system of equals. I mean, people generally come to Howard County for the schools and for the convenience and where it's located. And, we do have different pockets of different school districts and whatnot around Howard County. And that is really what drives Howard County.
But, when you say that, and then you had Newsweek coming out with their list of, I think, 10 Howard County schools made this list of 1,623 best high schools in the country. And if you looked at the 10 high schools that were in it from Howard County, they ran the gamut. It was Appleton was in there, Mount Hebron, Marriott's Ridge, I think Glenelg. But they were... They truly in Reservoir. They truly spread across the county in all demographics of the county.
But where are they all?
What's that?
They're not in Columbia.
Yeah,
they're outside of Columbia.
There wasn't a single one in Columbia.
I didn't see the list.
Well, Appleton would qualify.
But Appleton picks up a lot of.
There's a lot of Clarksville. Yeah. And look, this is
and River Hill. River Hill was in there. River Hill certainly right. Columbia.
And I think that. And look, I don't...
You keep on believing that. You go ahead with that, buddy.
People who are watching this, I just said that. And both the producer and Paul kind of wagged their heads like, River Hill's not Columbia. All these people living down in River Hill, I hope you know
right.
that.
Yeah. When they pay their CPRA, they know they're in Columbia.
They know
if it's not Columbia, why is it called Clarksville?
Well, no. But, I always say River Hill is the village that ate Clarksville.
But I think that it's important to... And maybe that circles us back to the downtown redevelopment as well, that... in areas like Wild Lake and Hickory Ridge and Oakland Mills, they do need a shot in the arm. There are some declining property values and some stagnation in those neighborhoods, and it's not going to get solved, through a government program. It's going to get solved through, injecting jobs and injecting a core here in downtown that's going to want to make, those houses as attractive or those neighborhoods as attractive as like an Ellicott City might be right now. So
real quick here, because we got to wrap up the show, but Dennis, you're obviously in the commercial real estate industry. Dave, you're in the residential real estate. can we contrast a little bit the two? Dennis, having heard what Dave talked about with certain markets coming back, certain price ranges, can you correlate that to the commercial market?
Well, you know, it's often said that in real estate, the commercial follows residential. Well, once the residential growth picks up, the commercial comes in behind it. I would say it's a little bit different here in Howard County. I mean, we still have a large number of people who commute into the county every day to jobs. So, you know, our job base is already pretty strong. Now, that being said, we've gone through a rough patch the past 2 years in commercial real estate. So we're just now seeing some of that come back. But I don't think it's as closely linked to residential growth here as it is in other areas. I think commercial stands on its own.
And kind of bifurcating your industry a little bit from the leasing side and the buying side. My understanding is the leasing has started to pick up, but the buying has really not. Is statement?
That's true. You know, the problem with buying is the same as I guess, Dave, you would say in the housing market, is values are still, like, out of whack. Sellers' expectations aren't in line with buyers. So, the sales market is very, very slow. The office condo market has kind of just dried up in Howard County. But the leasing, and even on the leasing side, there's pressure. I was just in a meeting with the with some local realtors, commercial realtors, the other day, and the warehouse market is very soft, and deals are being made, you know, incredibly great deals being made on short-term leases in that market. But the office and flex markets are starting to pick up. So, we're very lucky. We have tremendous growth going on at Fort Meade, and that stuff is just now starting to trickle into the market. And we're going to see, I'd say 2011 is going to be a great year for commercial real estate, at least on the leasing side.
Well, thank you for that comparison. Dave, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate you filling in for Senator Roby.
It was my pleasure to do so.
Thank you for being here on such short notice. And thank your daughter, Grace, is that right, for being here as well? Anyway, thanks for being here, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks.
Okay, well, you know, we have talked in previous shows about how we're not doing the walk-around thing anymore, even though, again, it's a beautiful day here in town center, sitting here at the lakefront. One of the other thoughts was that we would have we would replace that with a thing called open mic.
Yeah, we've thrown out a lot of ideas out there, and I think we're kind of still tooling on trying to figure out what we're going to do. And you know what? I think we could do a combination of them. I think that's great.
Right. We'd like to give this open mic thing a try. So what we're going to do is between now and maybe not the next show, because the next show is really early next Thursday, which is kind of unusual. But then we're going to take a break. We're going to be off for a while because you're on vacation, and then we come back. I think is it 16th? The 16th on next show? Well, anyway, we'll come back.
That's right.
We'll come back in mid-July. And when we come back in mid-July, we would like to try this open mic thing. So in the meantime, between now and when that happens, if you go to our Facebook page, and then there's that on Facebook, and let us know that you'd like to be on what we see is kind of come on for 2 minutes. You can talk about whatever you want. Alan Klein, if you're listening to this, you can come on and you can say your piece and whatever. The only trouble is after that, you have to give us about 2 minutes to chat with you. So those are the ground rules.
Yeah. Now, we also wanted to mention that we've got a number of good guests coming up during the rest of the summer. And we did extend one invitation that we actually got declined on.
You know, it's a first person. We are, I think, a 17th show. First, we got a first decline.
And not only we've had 17 guests, but we've actually had people approach us
and asked
to be on the show. Right. And we're working with some of those people to get them on. But Dennis, you had the email exchange.
Well, you know, we're sometimes accused of being one-sided politically, and we certainly aren't that. We certainly have our own political opinions, I'd like to think we have a big tent, and we like to invite everybody in. So we thought it would be fun to have Liz Bobo join us and be on the show. So we contacted Liz, Delegate Liz Bobo, that is, and we invited her to come on the show, and she
declined.
She declined. That's our first decline.
Then I think she's scared of you.
Yeah, what's to be scared of, Paul? Look, we're pussycats. So, you know, Liz, if you're listening, I hope you are. You know, we'd love to have you
on. And it's been a bipartisan show. We've had several members of the county council that are Democrats on the show. And you know what? We welcome a bipartisan discussion. And Liz, we'd like to have you on.
And as a result of that, we're going to start now the Liz Watch. So this is a day one of the Liz Watch of when she will accept to be on our show.
Wild Lake Bagel Bin. You can find her today.
Well, maybe. And maybe one of these shows will do it in the parking lot of the Bagel Bin, waiting to catch her. I don't know. But fun stuff. Liz, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on. We really would. We'd be easy. We're kind. And you're a politician, for God's sake. You knew how to handle a couple guys like us. But anybody else, we are we're always interested. You got ideas for guests, please let us know. Paul and I are pretty easy guys to get along.
And then there's that.
And then there's that. That wraps up another episode of And Then There's That. On behalf of myself and my co-host, Paul Scowney, we'd like to thank our producer, Dave Bittner, for making us look good on radio, and to Paul Kraft and Clyde's Restaurant for hosting our show again today. We'll be back again on July 1st with our special guest, former Howard County Police Chief and County Executive, and now current State Senator for District 13, Jim Robey. We hope you'll join us.